Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Kim Reynolds of Dogman.com, another edition of Dogman Radio. And full disclosure, we've got Cody Pickett with us today. We had Cody Pickett with us a couple of days ago, but we had technical difficulties where the first part of it didn't record. Cody, have you ever had like a practice where you just had to say, yeah, we got to start from the top again?
Yeah, unfortunately I have. You know, you get it, you know, you get better with the practice. So we'll take another run at it here and hopefully we'll make it a little bit more sense, I guess.
All right. You know, first of all, let's just tell people, you know, what is Cody Pickett up to? I know you're back in Boise metro area, but you're back home in Boise. Tell people what you're up to.
Yeah, back home in Boise, loving life here in the Boise Valley. I actually live in Meridian, have my insurance office in Boise. Built an awesome agency. I'm really proud of where I'm at in the business world with my insurance company. Got a great team around me. So writing insurance policies every day, and then I'm sneaking down to the gym and coaching high school basketball. I've been the girls basketball coach at Eagle High School for 7 years. Really proud of what we've been able to do. We've been in the top five in the state 6 years in a row. Third place last year, won a state championship the year prior. And I just switched over to boys. So I'll be coaching the boys team at Eagle High School going forward. Excited about that. I've got three little ones that I'm really proud of. I've got a 9-year-old, 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And got my wonderful wife, Carly, who kind of the glue to keep me held together with all this that I've got going on.
You won a state championship with your girls. What was that like? I mean, that's really, really cool.
It was awesome, Kim. I've had so many awesome sporting experiences myself as a player. Having an opportunity to play a little bit in the Rose Bowl, and you know, playing at Candlestick Park and playing at Soldier Field, and playing in a state tournament myself as a player. It was all awesome experiences, but I never won a state championship as a player. And seeing kind of how our program evolved over the years. I mean, we were so good the 2 years prior. We had lost back to back state. We had a season where we beat a team a couple times, and we lost to them in a state championship after getting after them the week before in a district championship. So it was hard coming in second. And then the second year, which was 3 years ago, we were undefeated. We were 6-0. We were nationally ranked. We were in the top 25 in the nation. That's pretty cool being here in Eagle, Idaho, being top 25 in the nation. And we actually lost the state championship game to a really good Post Falls team. So that third year of being in the state championship, 3 years in a row, we came as the heavy underdog. We were actually on the reverse side of things. We were playing against the Mountain View team, who was 26-0, and we were able to upset them. So it was really, really cool experience for me. Just the relief of finally getting it done after being there 3 years in a row, and then just seeing all the joy on my girls' face and how proud they were. It was a really cool experience.
You moved over and now you're coaching the boys. What's the big difference besides the size of the ball? What's the big difference between coaching the girls and coaching the boys?
Yeah, the size of the ball and the size of my team, I guess. I mean, I've had some good sized girls, you know, we've been one of the, I guess, not the smaller, we haven't had 6'4" and 6'5" like some of these other girls programs in our valley. But, you know, now I'm looking up at these guys. I've got 6'9", 6'8", 6'6", 6'7". So I got some big guys that are hungry. They're excited. I feel like I've related pretty well with my girls and still proud of our success, but you know, these guys, I mean, they can directly relate with, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in high school, but, you know, I was in their shoes not too long ago and was a multi-sport guy. And I'm going to do the best I can to support multi-sport athletics at Eagle. You know, the guys that are on the football team, I'm going to welcome with open arms to come play basketball. And you know, they're excited. They're excited. I'm excited. They've made it to the state tournament back-to-back years. They were close to making some noise this year. They got beat in the semis to the eventual state champ. So I'm excited about it. So are they. And hopefully this dang virus relaxes a little bit so we can play this winter.
If I'm the head football coach at Eagle High School, I'm wandering over to basketball practice once in a while and picking Cody Pickett's brain. Do you help out on football at all?
You know, I've been there for 8 years now. And, you know, we've had a couple different football coaches. And they ask, which is awesome. They ask. But I'm still on break from football. I got my toe in the water. My little man, Cash, we've won. We'll say we've won back-to-back flag championships in the 8 and 9 year old division. So that's as close to coaching football as I get right now. But we'll see how things evolve and go forward. I love being in the gym and coaching hoops, and you know, I'll give input over there on the football side of things whenever I can. But we got a great football program at Eagle, and I'm excited to watch and see how they do this year.
All right, I'm going to give you the tough one, right? I saw on Twitter that Taylor Barton's going over to Boise. If I had you and Taylor out of the football field, 40-yard line, throwing the football for lunch, who's hitting the crossbar first?
Is it coming out here?
Who's hitting the crossbar first?
I'm hitting the crossbar first. I love Taylor. He's such a good guy. We had, I don't know, however many years of throwing that thing together. As long as Rick didn't beat us, we're doing good. If it was Taylor and I, we'll be all right. But I'm hitting it first. I can't give him that. As far as breaking down defenses and X's and O's and all that, yeah, he's gonna tear me up in that department. But I'm hitting that dang crossbar first.
You know, when the part of the conversation that we had that, you know, I was really upset that didn't record was, if you were state player of the year for football and basketball, and we were talking about, you know, some of your intramural games. I mean, because you picked up the basketball over in the IMA and played with some of those guys. Tell me again about some of those basketball games that you were involved in, because I think the football team had a good basketball team.
We really did, you know, and I was the state player of the year here in Idaho, but my game really didn't evolve until I got over to Seattle. I mean, playing with guys like, you know, we talked about Willie Hurst and, you know, Nate Robinson and Jeremy Stevens and Tank Johnson, all these, Khalif Barnes, all these guys that were really good football players that were good basketball players. And, you know, the basketball team wasn't at its highest point when we first got there. So there was a little bit of noise being talked about being able to compete with them a little bit, but then Nate and those guys took the basketball program to the next level. But our IMA games were great. I mean, we had a bunch of guys on our football team that could really play basketball, and it helped my game evolve. And you know, those IMA games were pretty dang competitive over there. Dunk contests are pretty good too. Hence to why we had, I mean, we're talking about dunk contests. We had a guy in the IMA that ended up winning the NBA dunk contest 3 times. So yeah.
Yeah, we've known Nate forever, right? And I just remember being at a football practice and just seeing some of the stuff Nate would do. So much football, but personality wise, Nate was. Tell me your best Nate Robinson story.
Oh, well, I don't know if I have a specific story. I just remember him coming in after that freshman year and being like, "Hey, CP, I'm going to play on the basketball team." I'm like, "All right, cool, man. Good luck." You know, and I'm not coming back to play football. I'm like, "Nate, what do you mean? You're our best corner. Well, you got to come back to play football." And you know, and I'm like, "Nate, you know, our IMA games, I mean, you can play, but you're going to go think you're going to go make the team and contribute there." And I just remember that conversation, and shoot, I just remember fast forwarding to, I think it was the Arizona game where he's getting tip dunks and making the crowd electric. And I was like, wow, that is awesome. He wasn't lying. He went and did it. And then I remember being in San Francisco, being in the weight room, getting my workout in and seeing the NBA draft come on and Nate getting drafted. This is such a cool, cool thing. And his personality is so big. What an amazing athlete. Big competitor, and you know, just proud of him and what he was able to do. And then obviously watching him win all the dunk contests, and just happy for him and the career he's able to make.
You know, Chuck Heater. I mean, I'm sure you remember Chuck. Chuck told me numerous times, he said, "Nate's an NFL corner, Kim. He's that good."
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, you know, and then he had that, and then I think he came back and tried out for the Seahawks. And I was literally, people thought it was a publicity stunt from what I saw. I was shocked they didn't sign him. You know, like he really, I mean, if he'd have worked on his craft, there's so many, You know, guys in high school are good, they're talented. And then in college, they're bigger, stronger, faster. And really taking it to the NFL, it's really working on technique. So I think if Nate would have stayed with that technique, I mean, I think he would have been a starting NFL corner and had a long, long career if he'd have got that technique cleaned up.
Because he was fearless.
Oh, fearless, confident, great athlete. I mean, hence, I've said it three or four times now, when you got it's, you know, they listen to 5'10", and that might be with his cleats on, winning three dunk contests. You know, that's crazy, you know? So, yeah, just an amazing, amazing athlete, huge personality, and like you said, fearless. And you have to be fearless playing corner.
If Nate's 5'10", I'm 6 foot. I'll take it.
Exactly. That's what I said with cleats on.
Just wanted to get back and talk to you, you know, when you decided, you know, when Washington started recruiting, tell us a little bit about, you know, your first involvement with recruiting with Washington and where that all started from.
I think that got my first handwritten letter from the University of Washington. I think I was, I don't know, between the sophomore and junior year, and thought that was so cool to get a handwritten letter. Loved the color purple, and Kerry Conklin came out to Caldwell and started recruiting me, him, and Coach Linehan. Coach Lambright, the staff was awesome. I remember Coach Conklin coming out here to watch me play a game in his Valley View, and you know, we got after him pretty good, and you know, they'd offered me that scholarship, and you know, I was a huge, huge basketball player and didn't want to miss anything. So I wasn't like these guys are nowadays. They're trying to, you know, make it into, I don't know what you want to call it. Just the recruiting process nowadays is crazy. But, you know, I narrowed it down to a couple schools, went on my recruiting trip to UW to watch them play Utah State. And remember going to Coach Linehan's office, and he had all my press clippings from Caldwell up, which I thought was really cool. I had my jersey on the wall, and just fell in love with it. You know, I knew that's where I wanted to be, and so committed to them that day. And
also, you committed, but then there was a coaching change, you know, with yes. Coach Lambright to Rick Neuheisel. What was that like? I mean, being in flux like that.
That was it was weird. I think I was one of the first guys in the class. Me and I think Kevin Ware might have been early. Me and Kevin Ware were like the first guys really early. And actually found out through the Arizona State coaches. They called me and said, "Hey, Cody, are you sure you still want to go to UW?" And I said, "What would you absolutely? Well, you know, there's going to be a coaching change." And sure enough, a couple hours later, the news broke. And so that was interesting. So that's when Arizona State really came into play. After Coach Lambright and that staff, they were let go. I actually did take a recruiting trip to Arizona State because I didn't know who the new coaches were. I knew I wanted to be a Husky, but I didn't know if they'd like me, you know, new staff. And I didn't know if I was even going to still have an offer there. So I went to Arizona State while I was waiting to see who the new coach was going to be, and got a little bit anxious of, you know, Arizona State putting pressure on me of, "Hey, come be here, you know, with, you know, Jake Plummer." I knew Jake pretty well and hung out with him a little bit, and he was telling me what a great school Arizona State was. And I remember being pretty anxious about, gosh, I don't know what to do because I don't know if the new guy's gonna like me, and I don't want to pass up on an opportunity here. And then Rick got hired and called me, and yeah, his big personality that he had me on the phone. "Hey, you're gonna be my quarterback. Let me hear you say, 'Go Huskies.'" And we're working on it in the morning. I'll be there first thing in the morning. And so he came to call the next morning after getting hired. And I guess the rest is history. I still wanted to be a Husky. And if he wanted me, which he did, I was excited to be a part of it. So there was definitely a change up when they got released, though, when they got let go.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where were you? Do you remember hearing any names and just the first time you knew Eisel's name? I mean, because I remember where we were when it came up. It was just like, because Rick was a name back then.
He wasn't. Wasn't it Gary Pinkel too? Wasn't Pinkel one of the guys too?
Yeah.
Right? So knew Eisel, Pinkel.
There was Joe Tiller the guy that was at Purdue at that time?
Yeah. And I didn't take a trip out there. And I mean, Drew Pease mentioned. Yeah, you're right. And that's which was really interesting because Purdue was one of the schools that I was getting a lot of love from. So, I just remember being at my house and he got announced and he called me really soon after he was hired. And, you know, getting to the whole deal of, hey, let me hear you say go Huskies and the whole chicken dinner bit. He loved that. I think that's part of why the chicken dinner bit got played up so much because Coach Neuheisel thought it was so awesome. So he played it up a ton. But I just remember being at home and hearing he was the coach and kind of lifted him up a little bit. And he called me right away and told me he'd still love to have me come be a part of the program. And so I literally think the next morning he was in town because there was two guys that committed up there, Levi Madrietta from Weezer. Weezer, which is, I don't know, 45 minutes away from where I live. So he came to downtown and saw both of us. And the rest is history, I guess.
Okay. I mean, everybody knew a little bit about Rick, but how charismatic was he in the living room? How good of a recruiter was he?
He was a great recruiter. And I mean, like I said before, when he's, hey, how you doing, Cody? This is Rick Neuheisel. Hey, coach. How you? And he was just selling me right then. Hey, let me hear you say go Huskies. And I said, go Huskies. He goes, no. Let me hear you say go Huskies. I go Huskies. No. There's 100,000 in the crowd. You got to be loud. You're my quarterback. Go Huskies. I will work on it in the morning. I'll see you in the morning. And he was there first thing in the morning. So he had a big personality and was like that while I was playing for him as well.
Got Washington, probably then Arizona State.
If I hadn't gone to Washington, I'd have been Arizona State. And what was kind of weird about the whole situation is I ended up playing for those coaches. I mean, Cazzetto was our O-line coach. He was at Arizona State. John Pettis. Those two guys were the primary reason I was interested in Arizona State because I had so much love for those guys. They were great. And they ended up coming to Washington. And it was weird how it all worked out where, you know, those guys ended up coming from Arizona State and then being my coaches at the school I love. So
tell me about your relationship with Rick as it started and the last time you talked to him. What was it like being around Rick, playing for Rick?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, Coach Neuheisel was a great coach. You know, he was a player's coach and, you know, he was a player's coach and won a lot of games. And, you know, I haven't really had much contact with him. I remember I was getting ready to leave. Well, I was not getting ready to leave. I was considering leaving after my junior year because I had threw for a ton of yards, or 44, 4,500 yards, whatever it was that junior year. And I didn't want to leave. You know, Reggie didn't want me to leave because he had to come back for his sophomore year. So there was a bunch of chatter on where I would get picked. And, you know, the pre-draft things were, you know, had me and Kyle Bowler and Rex Grossman kind of in that second tier of guys. Carson Palmer was going to be the first pick and Byron Left, which was a top five guy. And then it was me and Bowler and Rex Grossman kind of considering that next row. And I remember going in and talking to Coach Neuheisel. You know, and he just, you know, said, hey, not ready. You stay. We have a chance to win a Rose Bowl and your Curb Street's preseason Heisman guy and all this. And that's what I wanted to hear. I didn't want to leave. My dad thought I needed to leave. And as it turns out, if you're looking at straight football, my dad was probably right. I probably should have left because, you know, that senior year I tore my pec in the second game against Indiana and just had a subpar senior year and we go 6-6. But, anyway, with Neuheisel, when he was let go prior to that senior year, I didn't really have much contact with him after that. So hope he's doing well, but I haven't talked to him really at all.
When you got to UW, that quarterback room that you walked into?
I'm sorry, say it again. Can you cut out?
Tell me about the quarterback room that you walked into.
Well, Brock had just left. So it was Marcus, and I ended up living with Marcus for a little while. Marcus was awesome. He was a great leader, obviously one of the best Husky quarterbacks to ever play at UW. was just a great competitor, different game than how I kind of, you know, he was an option guy, could throw it well, but you know, I didn't run a lot of option at all in high school. I mean, a little bit, but, and then there was J.K. Scott was there, and J.K. Scott had a huge arm, could really throw it. And there's some other guys, but those are the kind of the main guys. And, you know, and having a chance to sit behind Marcus and learn from him for 2 years was awesome. It was great.
Tell me about when Taylor Barton showed up, because you and Taylor were out of the same class. He went to Colorado, but you and Taylor seemed to, I just remember practices sometimes, you two. I mean, you guys were playing, practicing, but you guys were having a lot of fun.
Taylor's a great guy, and I talked to him a little bit on, through social media and stuff, because he's doing his quarterback camps. But, you know, it's weird how it, you know, kids want to get recruited and they want to go to a big school. And you don't understand, when you go to a big school, there's a new 3-, 4-, 5-star guy every year coming to try to take your job. So when that whole thing broke with Taylor, and, you know, Coach Neuheisel having a history with him, you know, and giving up 2 scholarships to get him, you know, it makes you nervous, you know, because it's like, hey, look, I've waited my turn. You know, I feel like I'm the guy now. And then here's this new guy coming in from Colorado. He's obviously really recruited well. And then he shows up and we just turned into great friends. I mean, he was an awesome friend of mine. He helped me so much. He was a student of the game. And like you said, I mean, you know, we went from, you know, from not knowing each other and kind of really battling for a job to really kind of connecting and working so well together. And it was awesome. I mean, it was awesome having Taylor with me. And you know, he won some games for us and was huge for us. You know, the SC game, Taylor played great. You know, so it was a really cool relationship, you know, a relationship that you're nervous about prior, you know, but then once he comes in, I mean, shoot, we were great buddies and just kind of went to battle together every day and really well worked well with each other, I feel like.
We've had several interns over the years, and it's always fun to, we call it messing with the interns, right? I know you guys like to mess with the young guys. Did you and Taylor Barton mess with Isaiah Stanback a little bit?
We messed with him a little bit. I was always the guy that it was, I don't know. I mean, the guy that got messed with the most was Reggie. I mean, oh my gosh, Reggie's freshman year. Reggie, I can't even tell you all this. Reggie went through a lot, some hazing early for the old guys. And they were big on that when I first got to UW. And then by the time I left as a senior, it wasn't quite as bad as it was when I was younger. But I just remember Reggie getting up to sing, and he stood on in the Olympia down there at Evergreen. He stands up to sing, and somebody said, "Hey, are you going to catch more balls than Jeremy Stevens? And yeah, I'm going to, if Cody throws them to me, are you better than Charles Ferguson, my guy?" Anyway, they're just hazing him and going all through the questions. And it came down to the last questions of, "Hey, do you think you're better than Charles Frederick?" And basically Reggie said in some choice words, "I'm better than everybody in this room." And it was over. Dinner was over. It cleared. Long story short, Reggie had some really nice braids, and his braids were no longer there the next day. Maybe there was some missing eyebrow action. I don't know. That's a rumor I've heard. I don't know. The long story short, Reggie came out the next day, and he had a headband on to keep the sweat out of his eyes because the night before, and he was not lying, Kim. He was better than all of us. He was amazing. So that was a cool story. I mean, I'm not promoting hazing and things like that and getting after a freshman, but that's a story that I remember of him getting up to sing and saying, "I'm better than everybody in this room." He got tuned up a little bit that night, I guess you could say, and the next day he came out and proved it. It was awesome, and he was just so much fun to play with and a great friend to this day.
You know, I remember back in your freshman year, you know, Tui went down, you had to step in, he hurt your back a little bit, and you got your red shirt year back. What do you remember?
Yeah, I just remember, yeah, you know, playing a little bit as a freshman and not really being ready and having a chance to play in a couple games. But then kind of getting banged up, never really had a you know, a weight room experience like you do when you get to college. So, you know, was able to get a red shirt year back, which was great. You know, gave me that fifth year. I mean, I guess you could look at it different. If I wouldn't have played that senior year, if I had to leave, maybe I'd have been drafted higher, but that's okay. You know, back to the story with Neuheisel about him telling me to stay and me deciding to stay. You know, if I'd have left after that junior year, who knows where I would have been drafted and who knows how my NFL career would have been. You know, it's really when you go to the NFL, it's right place at the right time and getting a coach that believes in you. So maybe I'd have had a longer career. Maybe things would have turned out different because, you know, I was a confident guy and you know, you got to get put in the right situation. So a lot of guys that are drafted now, they want to play right away when they go to the NFL, but really it's a different game. You need to sit behind somebody and learn but anyway, I couldn't be in a better place than I am right now. I love what I do for a living. I have a beautiful family and I'm in a great, great spot. So it all worked out exactly how it needed to be for me. But if I wouldn't have got that fresh or that redshirt year, if I would have left after that junior, who knows how my football playing career would have turned out. But I don't think I would have been in as good a place as I am now. So it was all good for me.
Tell me about some games that jump out that you remember that you kind of think about a little bit here and there.
Oh, well, the Rose Bowl game. I mean, the Rose Bowl game, you know, you talk about having the adrenaline go through your body. You know, you got your guy who's been your fierce leader and taking you to a Rose Bowl. And next thing you know, he's jogging off the field. He's banged up. And here you are, redshirt freshman, going in to try to win a Rose Bowl game, you know. So the guys, they like to tease me after saying I was so nervous. But I felt good. I mean, I felt like I probably had never thrown a ball as hard as I had warming up in that on the sideline trying to get myself ready. But I was able to complete a couple passes in that Rose Bowl. And then I remember the look we were getting. They were playing press coverage and bringing everybody in the box. And we were going to throw a fade to Elstrom. And anyway, long story short, before I had the opportunity to throw that ball, I see Neuheisel yelling, timeout, timeout. Here comes Marcus jogging out of the locker room. So, you know, my couple snaps were over and I go to the sideline. And sure enough, they played press coverage and Marcus was able to throw a touchdown. And we were able to win that game. But after the game, I was like, gosh, dang, if he could have just stayed in the locker room a little bit longer, maybe we'd have had a chance to throw a touchdown in the Rose Bowl. But that game jumps out to me. The Apple Cups, I mean, well, I guess before the Apple Cup, I had a third-degree shoulder separation against USC my sophomore year. And I don't know if people really realize how bad that shoulder was. I mean, looking back on it, I'm proud of how tough I was to be able to play through it. The guys that really know, I mean, I have pictures on my phone and pictures of, I mean, a third degree shoulder separation, your throwing shoulder, you don't play. And not only did I play, but I set the school record for passing yards against Arizona and I ran the game winner in that game. And if people had a chance to see what my shoulder looked like, I think I'd have a little bit of a different respect factor because it was pretty gruesome. So I'm pretty proud of that game, being able to play through it and gutting it out and getting that win. Against Arizona after blowing out that shoulder and then played the rest of the season with that. But other games that jump out, I mean, gosh, the Apple Cups stand out, especially the last Apple Cup, because the last Apple Cup, I mean, I played through so many injuries as guys do, but I played through some pretty gruesome ones as a quarterback and to play through a torn pec after that second game against Indiana, not really practicing that much, but being beat up all year, having our linemen get hurt and going from a team that had expectations of winning a Rose Bowl to where, gosh, we're barely keeping our head above water. We're 6-6 to be able to hit Corey Williams in the corner of that end zone for my final pass at UW was pretty cool for me, you know, cause that was a really rough senior year. I'm disappointed that we underachieved. We didn't win as many games as we were supposed to, but to be able to go out kind of on a high note, beating Washington State for the fifth year, you know, I never lost to Washington State, so I was pretty proud of that.
I just remember that game. First of all, it was cold. I mean, it was freaking cold. And then after the game, there's bottles and everything being thrown on the field, and Rick wants to break it down in the middle of the field in Pullman.
No, that was the year before. That was my junior year. Okay. That was my junior year. So that was my junior year. That was the 3-overtime game. And that was so cold. And I remember walking off the field. My mom's out there with her Cody or 3 jersey. I'm like, Mom, cover up. People are throwing stuff. I think Jim Daves got hit with a bottle and cracked his eye open out there. And Rick's just cussing the student section. There's 4 or 5 police officers around him and he was trying to fight people. And it was that game. Yeah, that was the 3-overtime game where the lateral happened and all that. That was my junior year in Pullman. And they were supposed to be going to the Rose Bowl. And if you watch, somebody shared that on Twitter the other day, well, a couple months ago. And if you actually, that game should have been over. I think it was in regulation or the first overtime. It was so cold outside that I took a snap and I was getting ready to throw it and I dropped the ball. It went off my shoulder and it hit, I think it was Todd Backer in the back. And I pulled it off his back and I rolled out to the right and hit Kevin Ware in the end zone. And it should have been game over. And if they had instant replay like they do nowadays, it would have been over. But they called a double forward pass, even though I did not throw the ball. I dropped it. And then that game went to the three overtimes. And I think John Anderson made five field goals. And so that was my junior year in Pullman. The senior year, that was my final pass. That's in Husky Stadium where I think there's a minute left. And I hit Corey Williams in the end zone of our tunnel down there.
So, I just remember that Apple Cup, you know, just out on the field and everything being thrown. And Tank Johnson was trying to get up in the stands. Patrick Reddick was trying to get up in the stands. And there was four guys holding Reggie back, you know, going into the student section. But I was like, can you imagine Tank actually getting over the?
Yeah, I was just ready for that game to be over. It was so cold. It was so late at night. But yes, to your point, all the tough guys in the student section who wanted to call those guys out, it's a good thing they didn't get in the student section because those are guys you didn't want to miss with. So, it's good that we were able to get out of there. But yeah, to your point about Rick, he was fired up, man. He was ready to roll.
And then wild night. And then when you leave the stadium, you got to go up the tunnel and then you've got to go through all the fans to get to the locker room.
I know. And I was just so tired and so mentally drained. And my body was hurting. And I was just like, gosh, all this extracurricular. I just wanted my mom to get the heck out of there because it was getting wild. And I just wanted to get to the locker room and try to feel my toes because I couldn't feel my toes. It was so cold out there. But that was a wild night. It was a wild night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I just want to run down. I'm just going to name off some players. Just give me a quick, quick reaction on some guys, all right? Pat Conniff.
Oh, probably the toughest guy ever. Pat Conniff, I mean, just a tough, tough guy, warrior.
Anthony Kelly.
AK-47. He's a great football player, huge personality.
Willie Hurst.
Oh, Willie Hurst. I just love Willie Hurst. I don't know. I don't know a specific word to describe him, but Willie had as much flavor as anybody that I ever played with. Just an awesome personality.
Willie was a big time basketball player down in Ellison,
right? Oh, Willie was amazing. See, Willie and I's game were so different. That's why I got better when I came to Seattle, is because I was able to use some of that creativity. See, my game, I was the garbage man. You know, I was just going to make it ugly and just grind it out. So those guys like Willie and guys like that, Dominic Shaw, who was my roommate. I mean, those guys that played high level basketball in LA, I mean, they could really, really handle it. So it helped improve my game. Well, I'm a competitor. I'm not, but Willie's way, way, way more skilled than me, but I was going to back Willie down.
The creature, Kai Ellis.
Oh, that's it. That's the creature. I mean, Kai used to sleep in his pads, two nights before a game? Thursday walkthrough or Friday walkthrough. Kai's game pants were going on, and they weren't coming off till after the game. So that's the best way to describe him, was the creature. His brother, Jason, actually played here for the Stampede, and I ended up playing against Kai in Canada because he played in the Canadian League for a long time. Jeremiah Farms is one of a kind. Jeremiah Farms is one of a kind. I have good stories about Jeremiah Farms, but we probably better not say him on here. But my God, Jeremiah was, I think I was the unique guy in my row of lockers. Jeremiah used to always say, man, CP, you're one of us, man. And which was pretty cool, you know, coming from a guy like that. But Jeremiah was as unique as you could possibly be. I was always so cool with Jeremiah, and then later after it was towards his senior year, he was like, "Man, CP, I wonder what it'd be like to sack you." And I was like, "Hey, man, I'm your quarterback." And so then he kind of got on that kick of what it'd be like to sack me. He wanted to mess me up, but boy, he was as unique as you could be, and what a great football player. I mean, just he is one of the best football players I've ever been around. He was so good.
Your protector, Elliot Silvers.
Oh, yeah, Elliot. I wish I had Elliott the whole time. Elliott was on that Rose Bowl team, and boy, he was just a monster. One of the biggest guys, strongest guys. And that Rose Bowl O-line, boy, they were amazing. Those guys were just so good. And, you know, he was one of the anchors to that.
Marquise Cooper.
Oh, man, Coop. Yes, what a sad deal, right? I mean, just a great football player, such a nice guy. Love fishing and just so sad, you know, what happened to him and just a great football player and amazing guy.
A guy you had to go against quite a bit throwing the ball, Jimmy Newell.
Yeah, just great player and guy that made a big impact in the game.
Matt Rogers.
Oh, I still follow. If you don't follow Matt Rogers on Instagram, you're missing out. I mean, just huge personality, great guy, and just huge personality.
What do you think when you saw him on American Idol?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was so cool, too, when he was going through and singing and stuff, and he actually had me send him a jersey. I don't know if he ever wore it when I was in San Francisco. Like, well, that's cool. You know, a guy's going to rock my jersey. And, just a huge personality, just a great guy, and still love following him to this day. I haven't seen him forever, but, I watched his Instagram feed and looks like he's doing great. And
All right, Tui.
Just a fierce leader, guy I looked up to. You know, obviously I'm a guy that has a lot of my friends are older than me, and a lot of guys that, you know, I just have respect for my elders. And Tui was a guy that I looked up to and in a big time way, and the success he had and the way he led and just a fierce competitor.
First time you laid eyes on Rich Alexis and you knew he was a running back?
First time I laid eyes on him? Well, I think I knew about Rich and E.T. and those guys because of the John Anderson connection. Because John was my roommate, my first roommate. And so I'd always hear about these guys from John. But Rich, what a great athlete. Rich and E.T., those guys were great basketball players too. So I just add those to the list of guys that helped me improve my game because they were really, really good basketball players.
Reggie Williams.
My guy. I mean, he texted me yesterday. We go back and forth, and Cody to Reggie was so big, and just one of my great friends, and we've linked up a couple times at games, and just proud to have played with him, and just an awesome football player, and you know, we tease each other as much as anybody. You talked about having fun with Taylor. I had a lot of fun with Reggie too. So even to this day, we tease each other a ton, and talk smack back and forth to each other, but just proud to have been able to play with him.
There was a thoroughbred horse named Cody to Reggie.
Absolutely. I got a frame on my wall. Yes. Ron Crockett had a Cody to Reggie horse. I've actually got a picture of it at my house. I thought I had it in my office here, but I don't. But yeah, there's a Cody to Reggie horse, and he run his first couple races. Yeah.
I remember being down at Otson. I can't remember whether it was your junior or senior year, and they had a corner who was about 5'7" out wide on Reggie. And you would just keep on throwing quick outs to Reggie. They'd come up and hit his thigh patch and bounce off, and he'd just keep running.
That was a game to remember, too. There was a lot of history in that one, too, because I think Coach Neuheisel took some heat for that one, but we were my junior year, we were at Otson, and we were down 14-0. And I just remember looking at Reggie, we're standing on the sidelines, and they scored in the first possession. I think the next possession, I think maybe Rich fumbled or something, or we turned it, maybe I fumbled, put it on me. I don't know. Something happened. We turned the ball over and they scored again. It was 14-0. The place was on fire. And I just remember looking at Reggie and our line, like, guys, we're all right. We're gonna be all right here. We haven't even really touched the ball and we're down 14-0. We're gonna be all right. And then I think we rattled off 42 unanswered to beat them 42-14. And that's when the whole being on the field and taking the pictures in front of the 42-14. And that was a pretty fun night as well.
Was it better? Was it more fun beating Oregon or Washington State?
I don't know. I mean, both of those were, I mean, huge wins. I mean, obviously as a competitor, you don't want to lose to anybody. You want to beat anybody you can, but for the rivalry with Oregon and Washington State, I mean, I think that was always kind of the deal, you know, no matter, I think I remember talking to Coach Pete about that. No matter what happens during the season, you don't lose to Washington State. Like, you can't do it. So both of those games, I was able to, my junior and senior year, we beat Oregon and then beat Washington State all 5 years. And then we didn't play Oregon my sophomore year. So So for the time that I was a starting quarterback, we never lost to either one of those schools. So as much as I'm disappointed in how we were able to finish that junior or that senior year and only go 6-6, that I'm pretty proud to be able to say I never lost to Wazoo or Oregon as a starting quarterback.
State player of the year, football, basketball, never lost to Washington State or Oregon. Not bad. Not bad.
I'll take it. Yes.
One more guy I want to ask you about, Keith Gilbertson. What was it like working with Gilby?
He's so awesome. I love Coach Gilbertson. You know, I saw him a couple times when I came back and we've talked a little bit. We got to get on the golf course together. He's got to help my golf game. We've joked about that he's a lot better player than me. He needs to get me lined out because I'm trying to be a player now. But just a great offensive mind, you know, thankful that I had an opportunity to play for him and learn from him. Just a great mind and a great person and have a ton of love for Coach Gilbertson.
And then I wanted to also ask, I forgot to ask you about one of the things was, tell me about, it was Indiana game, you tore your pec muscle your senior year.
Yeah. Crazy.
How much did that had to have impacted you quite a bit.
Kim, the older you get, the tougher you were and all that stuff. But, you know, it's crazy looking back on it, because now looking back on it, like my kids want to play and stuff and playing through injuries. And that's just how I was raised. Like you rub some damn dirt on it and you go play, you know, like that's the tough man mentality that I was raised with. But looking back on it, gosh, it sure as heck didn't help me going to the next level. And as proud as I am for all that during college, it didn't help me. You know, it's kind of like looked at as damaged goods and it didn't help my performance, you know. And when you tear a pec as a quarterback on your right side, you don't play through that, you know, and I don't want to make an excuse in any way, shape or form. There's things that I could have done different. You know, I could have been better in the film room. I could have been better in so many different ways, you know, but that tough. And so I don't want to make an excuse in any way, shape or form of what happened, but it was a bad injury. I mean, guys, I remember Reggie come up behind me and kind of trying to grab on me. I mean, it looked like I had an implant underneath my right arm. I mean, I was swollen. I had pus all up in there. It was a pretty nasty injury. And I remember getting on the edge and trying to run that guy over. We lost to Ohio State in the first game. They were the defending national champs. And we come home against Indiana, and I checked to an option and got up on the edge. And I ran with that tough man mentality, is trying to run somebody over. And I got hit. And I just remember, man, it hurt so bad. And it affected me the rest of the year. I had that big swollen, you know, right pec all the way into my armpit. I mean, it was into my armpit. It had pus in it. It was nasty. So again, I don't want to make an excuse in any way, shape or form, but an injury that, you know, playing with a third degree shoulder separation my sophomore year was pretty amazing. And then doing with that torn pec my senior year, those are some pretty gruesome injuries that I probably wouldn't recommend playing with. So, but I did it.
How much you keeping tabs on what's going on up at UW football? And did you have a relationship with Coach Peterson at all?
Yeah, Coach Peterson was great. You know, he's a guy that was here, you know, or this is hometown for me. My office, I'm in Boise right now. So I love Boise. I'm a Boise guy. So the success he had here and then what he was able to do at UW was just amazing. I mean, you talk about just a great leader. I mean, he's just a guy that just a model citizen and a guy that does it the right way, and have so much respect for him and what he was able to do. You know, and respected how he left the program. You know, he left the program with Jimmy, that he's just going to do a great job. The excitement's, I think, is as high now as it's ever been. So, yeah, Coach Pete was amazing. You know, just proud of what he was able to do and so excited about the future of the program.
You following much of what's going on over there now with Coach Lake?
Yeah, just on social media and stuff. I try to make it back to a game every year. Ever since I went out to I went to New York to the Rutgers game a couple years ago with Jen and was able to do a little talking out there, and I've kind of tried to come back to one game every year since then. But yeah, I've been following on social media and trying to retweet and like as many things as I can, because like I said earlier, I just think the program's in great hands and I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
I just remember being on the sidelines and seeing you there, and all of a sudden Reggie showed up and you guys hadn't seen each other in a long time. You guys were like two puppies who hadn't seen each other in 5 years. You guys were crazy on the sidelines. You remember that?
Oh, I do. I do. We had a ton of, we probably spent too much time in Montlake prior to coming in. That's probably why we were so excited. But yeah, it was, Reggie's my guy. I love Reggie, and having a chance to come back and be on the sideline in a non-pressure situation. You know, when I played, if you know how I was, you know, I was, I was ready to roll on game days. You know, I was focused and everything, and being able to come back and enjoy it with no pressure of playing. It's pretty fun. It's always fun to see Reggie. I always joke with him about he needs to get closer out here to me, and we got to find a way to get our families linked up. But yeah, it's always good to see him.
Tell me about your kids.
I have love my kids more than anything in the world. I've got Cash, who's 9, Maisie, who's 7, and my little man Cruz, he's 4. And boy, people would tell you, you know, kids have different personalities. It's so, so true. And my oldest, he's more like me. He's, you know, attention to detail. He's a skilled guy. He wants to do right. You know, he's a deep thinker. And then my little girl's kind of a mixture between the two. She's very, very emotional, probably gets that from her daddy. Cash, he's, you know, he's got his mama's book smart. So he's a deep thinker, good reader, just a good student. And like I said, Maisie's my emotional one. And then Cruz, boy, he's just hell on wheels, man. He's I don't know, he's going to be a fighter pilot or he's going to be a smoke jumper or something. He's a wild man. He'll be the gunner on punt team. I promise that. He's just going to be a wild man. So he's kind of the glue that keeps us together.
He sounds like Nick Oshevsky.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Or George Arzinka is one of those guys. He's going to be, yeah. And I love my wife more than anything in the world. She's not real tall. She's only about 5'3". So right now they're on the shorter side. So yeah, Cruz could be one of those guys, Olszewski, the gunner on the punt team, and just running him down and throwing his body in the harm's way.
I got to tell you one more thing. You know, in the 5 years you were at UW, I remember Cody Pickett had coach speak down more than anybody I'd ever talked to. And the final day, your final press conference before the final Wazoo game, I remember I wasn't there, but you just opened up. And I said, what's the deal? I wasn't there. And you said, you should have been there. Now I'm talking to you and you're talking, but you never said, I don't think you said anything but coach speak for 5 years, Cody.
You're so right. And I remember and guys nowadays are not like that, you know, but I was by the book, and I used to always try to avoid the media. You know, they would call out and say, all right, we need these 7 guys today. And if you didn't call my name, you know, I was sneaking out of there. I said, like, then really say, Cody, you're the quarterback. You got to do media every day. I didn't want to talk to me, talk to somebody else. So yeah, I was by the book coach speak, and I was always trying to get out of talking to the media. Which that's one of the things looking back on, I should have been more open to it than I was, but maybe that's just how I was raised, but yeah, I was always trying to avoid whenever I could.
We got what we needed, but it was kind of funny because we would ask the questions before you got there, and we would answer them before you got there, and they were pretty much the same thing.
For sure. I wasn't going to say anything I wasn't supposed to.
We'd like to congratulate Ohio State on a great, well-fought football game. We could do Rick pretty much too. So, but those are the fun times. Cody, we hope to see you anytime soon. Are you going to get back here anytime soon?
Yeah, plan is to come to one game a year. So yeah, I don't have one circled on my calendar right now. You know, with all this craziness going on, who knows what this year is going to look like. But my plan is to come to one early game every year. Since I'm coaching boys, my season's back a little bit farther. Usually I couldn't come to a game after the middle of October because I'm coaching hoops. But now with the guys, we don't start until November. So I'll pick out a good game in the early fall and come up, and I'll make sure I say hi. All right.
You better bring your golf clubs.
Okay. Let's do it. You got to help my game out too.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cody Pickett, go Dawgs.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.